Begin to the online broadcast network, AfterBuzz TV. Over 20 million weekly downloads in over 150 countries and your number one source for after-show entertainment. AfterBuzz TV, the destination for TV superfans. Producing aftershows for over 300 of your favorite TV shows. Interviewing celebrities and showrunners. And bringing you behind-the-scenes exclusives. All thanks to E! Entertainment's Maria Menounos, producer Kevin Undergaro, and internet leader Akamai. Now, let the buzz begin!
Hello, everyone, and welcome to the Season 4, Episode 4, After Buzz After Show of Masters of Sex. I think I said that correctly. Yes.
Oh, I thought we were on Season 3.
Season 3. I knew I was going to get one wrong.
I was like, where are we? What year is it?
It's a long day. I am Adrian Snow. Will Link is not with us tonight. He will not be here tonight or next week, but we will have him back soon. So we wish him well on whatever he's doing. I'm
sure. He's sorely missed.
Sorely missed. Sorely missed. But if you ladies would like to introduce yourselves.
Hi, guys. I'm Quinn Skillian. You can find me on Twitter at Quinn Skillian.
I'm Yael Teagle, filling in for Will Link. I'll be here this week and next week. You can tweet at me at Yael Teagle. That's Yaeltygiel.
Yes, and I'm Adrian Snow, and you can follow me on Twitter and Instagram at Miss Adrian Snow. That's MSADRIANSNOW. And as always, please subscribe to YouTube, SoundCloud. I always want to say Soundbox for some random reason. iTunes. We really do enjoy hearing feedback from you all, and we appreciate all that you do for us.
Yeah, I thought we had some good conversation happening on our YouTube channel from our, you know what I mean, the video from last week.
The comments.
Yeah, the comments from last week were really good, so let's keep it going. I like to keep talking about it during the week, not just on Sundays.
Yeah. So with that said, I think we should just go ahead and dive right in.
Yeah.
So first thoughts?
I love this episode. I was saying before the episode started that I missed season one. I missed the controversy of season one. And I felt like this episode kind of brought that back a little bit in different ways. And also, we got Allison Janney back.
Yeah,
yay. Right?
In the best intro ever.
Oh, yeah.
Yeah, we said, oh, hello, hello.
Yeah, right?
Wow.
Yeah.
Yeah, it was a good episode. Like, right after we were done watching it, I was just like, whoa. Felt like we got a lot there.
There was a lot.
We got a lot of stuff packed into that outdoor TV, which is cool. But also, I think it's going to make this after show a little bit like, what else happened? And then this, and then this.
Yeah. So I guess we should just go ahead and jump right into Barton and Margaret, just in terms of them being reintroduced to each other for, I guess it's been, if they got divorced at the end of season two, then essentially they haven't seen each other in 4 years.
I think they said 3 years since they signed the papers.
Yeah. So how did everyone feel about that, the reintroduction of them and Margaret being, like, sexually liberated to a certain extent, not completely?
We kind of got to watch Margaret kind of discover her own sexuality a little bit with, like, in, I think that was season one or season two. Mm-hmm. And so that was kind of fun. And they were kind of seeing the continuation of that now. And it's really important to her, you know, after everything that happened with Barton, for her sex life to be a very loving one. You know what I mean? She has this fascination with her, and I'm just going to call him Jimmy Cooper because I can't remember the name of the actor.
Tate Donovan.
Mr. Cooper. She wants them to be able to, like, orgasm simultaneously. She has, like, this romantic notion of, like, you know, looking into each other's eyes while they both climax, and, like, it's just, but he has this kind of problem.
Yeah.
Premature ejaculation.
I love that Virginia was like, that's a tall order. Like, that's not a thing that happens.
And this is coming from Virginia, like, a woman who, like, has kind of, like, she knows.
Yeah.
She knows what's up.
Well, I mean, also, like, they know from their study and from research and from, you know, the world that, like, that's not a thing that happens all the time. And I like that they're trying to help Margaret, you know, fix her expectations a little bit while trying to help Tate Donovan. Oh, I forget the character's name now.
It is Graham.
Graham. Yes, to help him with his dysfunction. And I'm really excited. I'm just excited she's back, but I'm also excited to see where this goes and that we opened the door to polyamory.
I know. What a shock that was.
Yeah. I was not expecting for that to happen. And I'm curious to see if the premature ejaculation is something that is like across the board.
That's what I was saying. I was getting the feeling
like, touched upon that with him and Joe, the other woman.
That's the thing. Mm-hmm. I was getting the feeling is that it's only the case with Margaret because after she closed the door on them, like she wasn't like upset or anything, but she was like there was something that felt like a little bit was like something was missing for her. I feel like, and I think that like maybe seeing him with her was like, oh, he doesn't have that problem with her, and maybe it's only with me. I don't know.
Maybe. I feel
we'll
like
have to see.
For Margaret at this point, you know, I feel like sometimes when you get out of a relationship, you want to just be in the exact opposite of whatever that relationship was, just to kind of, like, cleanse your palate of that relationship. And so with, I forgot his name, Graham, it's more of a, she's kind of testing the waters to see, like, is this something that she's comfortable with? And also kind of reclaiming her sexuality in that way by maybe being comfortable with something now that in the long run won't work out.
Mm-hmm.
But I didn't really think that she was that sad about it.
No, not sad.
I think it's not something that can be sustained necessarily for her, just as she is.
Yeah.
Especially with the intimacy issues that she has. But I don't know. I'm curious to see what they're going to do next episode in terms of, I think Joe's going to play a bigger part, so.
Oh, definitely.
Yeah, we'll hear more about that.
I think it's odd that when she was talking to Bill, she was saying, you know, I can't tell him this is what I need. I can't tell him that because of my previous situation, this is the only way I know that he loves me.
Yeah.
And I was like, I feel like Bill should have responded with, you know, that sounds like you should see, like, a therapist about that.
Well, it came down to what she said, because he did kind of say, like, well, why can't you tell Graham, especially
right.
when they're in the William Glasser reality therapy,
yeah.
you know, where it's all about being
in the now,
in the present,
yeah.
and telling the truth. And I guess in a certain extent, that's, like, the past, but if it affects her so deeply now, it's unfortunate that is a time where that's something that... Well, I mean, it is Barton's secret.
Yeah.
Right.
And, you know, it is his secret, and she should respect that. And I understand that. But with that said as well, it does affect her. It affects her
right.
relationships with other people.
Yeah. And I think it's, like, it's another one of those kind of signs of the times with the show mm-hmm. where we kind of, like, forget how, like, I don't even think I've ever even heard any of the characters use the word gay on the show. They say,
yeah.
oh, he prefers men, or mm-hmm. oh, he's inclined towards whatever. Like,
yeah.
you know, I don't even know if I've heard, maybe people heard the word homosexual. But
well,
in terms of,
yeah.
like, just even being like, why don't you just tell him? Why can't you just tell him? They can't even, like, it's like Voldemort. They can't even, like, say the word.
Yeah.
You know what I mean? And it's like one of those things where, you know, we don't, nowadays, someone would be like, yes, this is my problem because this is what happened. And obviously, that's
where I am.
Because
it was considered like a disease.
Exactly,
you know?
Exactly.
So it would be like admitting to someone like, I have herpes.
Right.
Like, that's
and like,
how they thought about it.
And it was like, and like at
yeah.
the end of the episode, it was like bursting out of Barton. He still couldn't say
yeah.
it. It was like literally right there. And
but
it was just like nipped it. Right
I think
in
we also kind of forget about how dangerous that
yeah.
time was for a gay man, you
oh,
know,
yeah.
to mm-hmm. be out. Even
I mean, it was yeah, it was unheard of.
Yeah, and they're still in Missouri, right?
They're in St. Louis.
St. Louis.
Yeah.
So yeah, so at that point, to be a man in the Midwest,
mm-hmm.
right,
who has admitted to being gay, even if he's not out, if he's told one person who just so happens to not keep his secret, that's a very dangerous thing. He
yeah.
could be beaten. I mean, he was at one point beaten.
Oh yeah.
So it's. I understand his hesitancy just because of that time, you know, he could lose everything. He has essentially already lost a
I
lot.
Just feel that Margaret can speak with Graham and say, this is what I need, this is what I want, this is how I feel.
Yeah. Especially maybe because Graham isn't someone who also obeys by, like, what we would call traditional,
yeah.
romantic, like, traditionally romantic relationships.
Yeah.
So. You would hope. I don't know. If it does come out to Graham that Barton is gay, I'm nervous to see his reaction.
Yeah.
Because he could be so sexually open up until that one thing.
I almost
you know?
Feel like, us as viewers are like, oh, just tell him, and then, like, when she actually does, it's probably gonna blow up.
It could be
yeah.
disastrous.
Like, it could also go the opposite direction, just to play devil's advocate and
yeah.
to be a perv that I am. It could also go that he goes, great, bring him in.
Right? That would be awesome.
The more the merrier.
That would be awesome.
I mean, I gotta tell you, that would make the show just so much better. Not that, I mean, it's great. Yeah. Just let's turn it up a notch, guys.
Go there. Go there. Oh, man. No, but it was great to have them back and just to see them really upping the ante for Allison Janney's character in terms of she has like more sex scenes
I know
than anyone, and it's awesome because you don't get to see that a lot. You don't get to see a woman of a certain age, I suppose, having sexual interaction on television anymore. It's like, oh, you're just, you know,
because like at a certain point they lose, you know, in how we feel like in Hollywood, there's a certain age where a woman just completely loses her sexuality.
Like that Amy Schumer, where they're all being shipped off on the boat.
Picnic.
Like her last, fuckable. It's skit, y'all. It's her last fuckable day.
Last fuckable day.
Yeah.
That's right.
But also we get to see Allison Janney not just in a sexual situation, in a sexual situation that is rarely on TV, you know, having oral sex, like that is
for like a man going down on a woman. You know, you see it so much with a woman. Well, actually, Scandal does a really good job.
Of course.
I mean,
I don't watch Scandal.
Tony Goldwyn,
he goes down.
He's just like munching on that chocolate. All right, Masters of Sex.
What I love about this is that you have Barton and you have Margaret, and they are representing the older generation.
Yeah.
The closed off, the closed minded, the scared kind of, you know, and we're watching them kind of experience this opposite situation that both of them have grown up to think is what is the norm and what you should do and stuff.
Yeah.
And that's why I think it's like so interesting to watch it, because we're watching Masters and Johnson and like we're watching these really, really progressive people who just are innately that way.
Mm-hmm.
And then we have to see the older generation kind of come to terms with like, you know, the science and the progress and all that stuff.
You're right. And I love that they're also bringing in Tessa. As much as everyone's like, no one cares about the kids, but Tessa is representing the next generation, which gives us a nice parallel.
Yeah, but it also ties into just how that culturally there's still some things that they are behind on. Culturally, there are things that need to be addressed. And we're still kind of dealing with even now.
Yeah.
So it's nice to see that kind of parallel of watching Margaret kind of blossom, flower blossom.
Right. Such Georgia O'Keeffe metaphors over here.
Flower blossom. And then kind of seeing, like, Tessa's, like, just being, like, crushed and crumbled.
She was like staring out the window and she just was like this blank expression, just like unbutton your belt or something, like, or you know what I mean, undo your belt.
Well, let's just jump right in to Tessa. How did you guys feel about just overall, like, her reactions to the previous episode are kind of being played out in this episode, you know, with the suspension and everything? What were your thoughts on that?
I mean, it's so hard to watch this girl completely fall away from the idea that she's ever going to be able to have, like, a healthy sexual appetite at all. Mm-hmm. Because now she's found out how long do you think that she thinks that her mother and Masters have been sleeping together now? You know, after having seen the aftershave, she's like, they could have been sleeping together for 15 years, you know what I mean?
They happen.
And so with all that happening, and then of course with everything that happened in the last episode, it's just like impossible to think that this girl is ever gonna, you know, be able to have like a good relationship with her like own sexuality.
It's really hard to see because her mother is giving birth to the sexual revolution, and she is taking she's getting the worst parts of it.
She's getting like the bits of, you know, grit. What is it called that you take off meat and stuff?
The gristle.
She's getting the gristle.
Well, it's kind of like you're seeing how sexual dysfunction starts.
Yeah,
you know, and in terms of not being able to communicate when you feel something has gone wrong, not being able to even in the first episode with Virginia and Tessa, like, why couldn't Virginia, a sex expert, go to her daughter, a sex expert, and just say, hey, let's talk about this. This is, you know, what you should feel, and this is, they should have that type of communication of all the people in the world.
Mm-hmm.
And it just kind of plays into that this is still a sign of the times. It's still a sign of just like the dynamic of a woman and how she feels about her body and what she feels is her own body, and how men sometimes, because it's all female panel tonight. No, I love Will, but like, and how sometimes men feel like they have a claim to a body that has not in any way been given to them.
No.
Right. You know, and so to see, I really hate it that I called it, that she was still going to date this guy.
Oh,
and
yeah.
He was going to be her boyfriend. But that was the instant thing. Like, she's, now and this is what
just,
she knows.
Oh, he's just emotionally manipulative.
Yeah.
It's just so frustrating. He's like, well, I don't know what you want. Do you want to talk or do you want to not talk? It's like, yes, that's exactly what you should do. You should make her feel terrible. And then, and that way you look good, even though you're still being an absolute dick.
But I
that's
wanted all to punch he knows. Him so
like, but this is the thing, is that, can you imagine, like, what has he seen in his family? So if his mother starts complaining, it's just, it's like this cycle that people start, like, you're getting so emotional. What do you want? Do you want to talk about it? Do you not want to talk about it? Okay.
But
I want you to listen. I want you to understand.
Right.
Like, that's what I want.
Exactly.
You know?
And I was just thinking about how he's like, oh, did you find, you know, walk in on your mom or did you see her?
Did you find
dildos?
He's
like, that's another thing. Yeah, that's another thing about, like, how repressed, you know, everybody was sexually at this time. Mm-hmm. That, like, you know, these, like, he's so starved for any kind of, like, you know, any kind of, like, taste of sex that he's like, a complete pervert about it. You know what I mean? Because it's just, like, so repressed.
Well, it's also, you know, she has, like, the unfortunate circumstance of being Virginia Johnson's daughter. So, and having that come out right at that time, you know, I understand them having a curiosity. And I think if he didn't have such of a kind of machismo programming to be like, you know, I want to talk about these sexual things, but I also want to force you to give me a blowjob, then it would be more of a kind of innocent curiosity. Mm-hmm. But because
it's
what
not,
we know,
right?
It just comes off as it even isn't. More disgusting.
Yeah. The affair thing was an interesting situation for her to deal with. In addition
to she didn't really deal with it.
Right. But like the fact that she's dealing with, you know, her assault, I'm going to call it that.
Yeah.
And the repercussions of that, her cutting class is obviously a sign of something, and thus suspension, thus dealing with this obnoxious boy, and then, you know, kind of uncovering this affair, which, I mean, she was talking about it earlier about her mom's boyfriends, and I think the fact that she now knows that it's Bill, you know, kind of, I think in her mind is going to be playing something back to, like, the first episode where she was drunk and but it's gonna be an interesting, I'm excited to see where it goes.
Yeah, I mean, it definitely taints her relationship with Bill. It also, I think, it's gonna make it harder for him. Well, I think that at that moment between them where he comes out and he says, I hope this isn't you going down a dark path, that is like the worst thing you could say to someone, you know, in terms of someone who is acting out. If you can't tell that a child is acting out, that they actually need you to sit down and be like, what's going on?
Yeah.
Is everything okay? Then you need to shut up.
I mean, in this episode with Bill reading the How to Win Friends and Alien, it's like, it felt like every single, it's funny because he's reading this book, but every single time he tried to have a conversation in this episode with someone, he said the exact opposite thing of what he should say pretty much every single time.
I know how you feel.
I know. Oh, shut up.
I understand how you feel.
Oh, shut up.
But there is something to be said about just, about trying to reach out to people. And I do give Bill credit for attempting to reach out. You know, no matter how feigned it was, at least he attempted it. I really hope, and maybe this is me, like, going back to some type of 90s childhood wish, that it's going to be okay for Tessa, you know? They're going to have a talk, and she's going to tell what happened.
You know who needs to talk to Tessa?
Betty?
Yeah.
Betty.
Needs to
talk. I was happy to watch them have a scene together, for sure.
That relationship needs to
Betty's blossom. Just no bullshit, you know? No
she's
beating
a
around the bush.
Shooter, and she's so self-aware, and so she can speak on her past without any shame about it. And she can say, like, when my mother neglected me, that was not good. You know, she can see that. And I wish that people could see how much the children of the show are being neglected.
Yeah.
Like, no one has really acknowledged, at least the parents, children are not being...
Virginia has acknowledged that she neglected her children when she decided to keep the new one.
Yeah, but she's not doing anything really about the relationships with her
old
children.
But she's acknowledged it.
Yeah.
Did you guys think that everything with Henry in this episode was, like, very boring?
Henry's just not... Henry doesn't have my empathy.
We spent so much time talking about Henry in Vietnam and this whole malaria scare.
Yeah.
And then we talked to what's his name?
Logan.
Mm-hmm. And he was like, I had both. And it's like, oh, well, he had malaria and something else scary, and he's alive. Fever. So then it's like, the stakes are even lower, and now I really don't care. we spent so much time.
It wasn't about Henry.
I know it wasn't about Henry. But it was just too much talk.
I think so boring. It's a very interesting parallel to see how mothering Virginia is to Henry now that he is
nowhere near.
Yep. How mothering she is to the baby because she has no choice but to be mothering.
Mm-hmm. Don't you think that's kind of interesting now that we're talking about this? It's reminding me of how Bill was like, people always want what they can't have. That's why we should wrap the book up in like the brown paper and stuff. Mm-hmm. Kind of the same thing with what's going on with Virginia. Like, don't know what you got till it's gone or whatever.
And Tessa needs her the most and she's just not there. How do you not pick up on cues, especially as a sex therapist? Like, I'm sure they haven't touched on it in the show, but I'm sure they have really faced clients or I can't think of the name.
Patients,
thank you. That have gone through some type of sexual abuse, that have gone through a type of abuse. Like, there are, I'm not a therapist or a psychiatrist, but I feel like there are cues, especially like right after it's happened, that can kind of, you know, send out red signals.
Yeah, especially like Miss Degree in Psychology.
Yeah. I mean, there definitely are cues and things that you should be aware of when someone has suffered an assault. Mm-hmm. But the patients that they have dealt with were years down the line. They dealt with people who had dysfunctions that stemmed from this assault.
Childhood.
From years ago. So I don't think they know the signs of this person has just been assaulted.
And also, like, since we met Tessa, she's been... only the angriest child I've ever seen.
She's angsty.
We've never seen any other side of her besides like a very, very tough exterior.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, so the teenage version of Tessa. Yeah, it's. I understand that, but it's also kind of just like I think it's time to. I don't know where I was going to go with that. I think it speaks a lot to them not having, and even now not having an understanding of sexuality for an adolescent.
Of course, how that ties in
and how sexual abuse begins and how sexual dysfunction
We've never talked about kind of like the beginning of a sexual kind of awakening when you start going into puberty and all that stuff. I don't think we've ever talked about that kind of stuff on the show.
Sometimes just too concerned about the middle life and not the, or the middle life of sexuality,
not the middle
and
of
not
the end.
Beginning
so,
and the end.
Yeah.
I mean, Virginia Johnson and Bill Masters, they wrote Human Sexual Response about human sexual response. They didn't look into any of that other stuff.
Yeah.
That kind of discovery came from other people.
Yeah. I feel like everybody in their study was like pretty much like 25 to 40.
It's just an interesting commentary to see, like, that even they, I mean, of course they do, but even they have blind spots.
Yeah,
They have a lot of blind spots.
Oh, definitely.
Their non-blind spot is smaller than their blind spots.
Yeah.
This is what we see.
Yeah.
This is all we know.
Well, because all they focused on, I mean, if we recall the way the show even started, their whole study, it was Virginia who pointed out that, like, women can enjoy things.
Yeah.
Mm-hmm. Women can, you know, have orgasms and enjoy themselves.
Yeah.
It never occurred to Bill.
Yeah. And it's just, I hope she speaks to Tessa. But on that point, do you want to jump into Libby?
Yeah.
So, thoughts on Libby?
It was like watching Bill read the book, and you're just like, oh, like, you know, maybe he's going to fix stuff with Libby, and then go, oh, wait, no, he won't, because Bill doesn't even know that there's anything to fix with Libby. He has no idea that there's even a problem.
Oh, everything.
And he never will.
No. Yeah. Everything that happened to Joy, it was just kind of like a slight skewed mirror for Libby.
Yeah.
I don't think Paul was the cause of her having a brain aneurysm. It doesn't seem like he was abusive.
I don't think so either.
It seems like if he had been abusive, you would have seen that when Libby came over to give them food. You would have seen like this kind of like anger, I think, more so it just seemed like he was just heartbroken.
Or you would have seen, or you would have seen some guilt or something, yeah, but something. We didn't see anything like yeah. that. So I don't think he hit her or anything.
I think that would have been revealed in this episode.
Yeah. Yeah.
It seems like, I think the scariest thing about brain aneurysms is like actually a personal fear of mine is that they just happen.
Yeah.
Like you can just be doing your normal thing one day and then all of a sudden you have brain aneurysm.
Yeah. There was a part where Libby was talking to Barton and she's like, a brain aneurysm or a stroke, or I don't really know the difference. And Barton just kind of laughed and I was like, oh wait, I wish he would have explained the difference. Yeah,
right?
I was thinking the same, like, he's not going
to... We don't get to know. I can't get, like a one sentence separately.
You just explain that.
Just one, like, tiny little blip of an explanation.
But I was curious as to why... I know Libby gave an explanation for why she was on birth control, of just, like, it helps with her cramps mm-hmm. and stuff.
Regulating your cycle.
You know, it was kind of intriguing that they decided to bring that up, that she is on birth control, and that there is this kind of... You see, like, the seeds being planted for her...
Something's going on.
Eventual leave, I think.
Oh, her eventual leave.
Bill.
Okay, yeah.
I
wasn't
know.
Sure if she was... I don't think she's... Because he said something about, like, having boyfriends on the side, and Libby was like, of course not. But it's like, well you kind of did once, so it's not
yeah,
crazy.
Yeah, she did once. I'm not saying that she's going to do that now. I'm saying it just seems like they're kind of leading her on that path.
Oh,
you know,
yeah.
Here she is watching her friend become comatose, essentially. Like, never being able to leave the house. Her husband is just tied to this woman for the rest of his life. They're miserable together. Or the husband's miserable.
Yeah.
The wife's not there. He sees Bill bought a fur coat that she did not receive.
Right. It was a Love Actually moment. Right. I said that when it happened. It
Wait,
was
what
such
is just Love Actually?
And Love Actually what? When it's Alan Rickman buys a necklace... And Emma Thompson thinks it's going to be for her. Right. Yeah, she sees it, but then he ends up buying it for his, like, little...
For Mia, his secretary. Yeah. Don't forget Mia. Mia is a very important part of that.
Mia? Her name was Mia?
Yes.
Oh.
See, Love Actually. I've seen it, like, twice.
Mia was
and then she ends
character.
Up getting the Joni Mitchell...
CD.
The Joni Mitchell CD. And she goes into her room and she just cries. Okay, we're not talking about Love Actually.
That's so sad.
Sorry.
I hope by the end of season 3, Libby will just be out the door. Like, doing her own thing, having her Margaret / Allison Janney moment. Being like, I want to be free.
I know. And she's trying so hard to remind him of how much he used to appreciate her.
Yeah. Well, I think that's also because he gave her the fur coat that night, right?
Yeah. Mm-hmm. Yeah. She had a fur coat, and he had forgotten that he gave her a fur coat. Because the lady at the store was like, you're a fur virgin.
Mm-hmm.
Right. And he didn't correct her. Because maybe he did forget.
Yeah.
Because he was like, oh, it's a long time ago.
Knowing him, he totally doesn't remember that he did this.
I know. Yeah.
But I feel like you're right that we are headed down this path of her leaving. Mm-hmm. But we started with her and Virginia having a conversation at the beginning of the season about how she's kind of okay with this almost polyamorous relationship.
Mm-hmm.
And that as long as it doesn't ruin the family unit, she can deal with it.
But she's not even a peg on this tripod anymore.
Oh, yeah. No.
Do you know what I mean?
I mean, Bill straight up said to Virginia, we're a team.
Is that fly driving you crazy?
Just a little bit.
There's a fly in the studio.
Ah! But it's okay. It's okay.
But you're right. You're right. So I think that maybe that is why we started there with her saying, as long as it doesn't ruin this family, we're fine.
Yeah. Mm-hmm.
And then... We're gonna.
And we got to see one of Bill's kids for like half a second in this episode. I don't even know his name. Uh-oh.
Wait.
We saw the daughter.
Oh, we saw the daughter. That's right.
She's talking to Libby. And then we saw the son.
The son.
Oh, the son. I forgot.
Not Howie, but...
Completely forgot we saw the son.
So anyway, speaking of
right
neglected
now.
Children...
Right? That's such a theme in here. Just like, these poor children.
I know.
These poor children.
Yeah.
And then they become our parents. Anyways. So...
mm-hmm. Those are your baby moments, right?
Right. So I guess we should just go ahead and jump right into Virginia and Bill.
Yeah.
That was a pretty big movement at the end of the episode where he's sitting there and he's standing with the fur coat.
Yeah.
He's invited her to a dinner to celebrate all that they've achieved.
Yeah.
And it is kind of like, and I think she knows it, even if he doesn't see it, that it is her kind of replacing Libby.
Once
she puts on that coat, it's pretty much like, in the works. It's on its way.
Yeah.
They're on the train.
It just doesn't seem... She just doesn't seem excited. I don't think... I don't think this kind of, like, legit relationship with Bill is ever something that Virginia wanted. Maybe she thought she wanted it, but I don't think she ever actually wanted to be, you know... like, what is it called?
Married.
Tied.
Yeah,
married. Involved.
No, I agree 100%.
Monogamous think, or whatever.
I don't think that really was something she ever wanted. And I think that now, especially now that she's married again, it's such a, it's going to be such an interesting.
And now this little relationship with Logan seems
she
to
lied.
Be.
She had gone to dinner already with Logan, you know, so it's.
Mm-hmm. Oh, and you know that that's going to become
something.
And Logan's still married.
Right.
Yeah. What he said about his wife is really intriguing, though.
It was really interesting.
About how he seemed to have, like, a lot of respect for his wife.
And he was very, like, open, you know what I mean? He wasn't, like, hiding anything from her. Mm-hmm. So that's interesting.
That gave him some nice levels.
It really
did.
In
the beginning, I loved Josh Charles, but that first episode, I was like, oh, God, he's just going to play.
He's going to be such a creep.
Skis.
No, but he's not. No, there's some serious depth to him. Yeah.
It looks like all season we're going to be, I mean, because we're opening all these different types of, I don't want to keep saying polyamory because they're not all polyamorous, but like these non-traditional, non-monogamous marriages, which is so. I mean, I'm really excited to explore it, but I'm really excited to explore that we're seeing the different types, you know, where we have the, this is, you know, Margaret and Graham and Joe, and then we have what's going on with Virginia and Libby. And
we're like seeing all the ways that sex is different from marriage and love, you know, the traditional idea of love.
And it kind of jumps back to what Virginia said in the first episode about, Bill said in the first episode about, like, the key to a healthy sexual relationship is honesty and trust. And so that's kind of, like, the theme of this season. It's, like, who trusts who is honest with who. And when you see two people who are being honest with each other, do they seem to have, like, a better relationship for it? And the people who keep secrets from each other, are they suffering because of it? So it's just interesting to see. And
Do you think Joy had the aneurysm because she was keeping the secret that she wanted to leave her husband?
I mean, I don't think secrets and lies can give you aneurysms.
I would
hope
not.
I was...
No, I know what you mean.
Yeah.
No, I think she
That's
actually,
how science works. Yeah. That's
she just
how
had a brain
works.
Aneurysm, right. So it could be a plot move for Libby.
Right.
And sitting there as a writer. We just need a reason for Libby to, like, want to be liberated.
Yeah. Did you think that there was a couple easy things in this episode? I remember you saying that, like, there was, like, oh, this is so obvious.
Oh, it was obvious.
The aftershave.
The aftershave when Tessa was putting in the Rolodex and she cut her finger. I was like, she's gonna find the aftershave.
Yeah.
And then when Libby walks into Bill's office and starts writing the note, I was like, she's gonna find the jacket or the coat.
Maybe.
It was very, there were a few things that were very, like, predictable, but I, through this discussion, have realized that this whole episode seems to be like, remember in the first episode of the season when this happened? We're paying that off now.
Yeah.
And this, so I like that we're four episodes into the season, they're like, we've paid off. You guys are ready for the rest.
We're good writers.
Yeah.
We know what we're doing, you guys. No, yeah. It was, there was one point I didn't want to touch on in terms of Bill. Well,
was
I guess
it
I
his
can't
marketing
think.
Plan?
Oh, well, yeah. I was like, I couldn't think of the original things. I was going to jump to that. I got to say, that was actually a really great thing to see him have something that actually
so
worked.
So nice to see something pay off for Bill.
Yeah. And for him to be like, I want to try this and see if it works. And for it to sell out, you know, to have that, just to have that one silly thought.
When Bill is angry, he's so insufferable.
Yeah.
So it's so nice when things are going well, because that means that he wants to make other people around him happy.
Well, I find him so annoying when he's happy.
Either way.
It's like...
He's this ego... He's like an egomaniac. He's like so...
He's a lot to deal with.
It's a lose-lose situation with Bill
and
Masters.
I love that he is drawing from pornography to be like, how can we sell our book?
Even though he was so against Playboy.
Which he's been pushing against this whole idea of
being
the allure and something kind of, you know, and the mystique of it all, the illicitness. And now look who he is profiting from it.
Well, I mean, it's funny because Hugh Hefner, like, historically was very active in the, you know, the sex education.
Yeah.
And so
they've
been talking a lot about that.
Room, and he really was super interested in helping them out. And so the fact that they, without him, were like, we should do what he does.
Yeah.
It's like,
I will be, I mean, I know we will. I was going to say, I would be so bummed if they had brought up this whole Hugh Hefner situation and then didn't let us watch it play out. But I have a feeling that we will.
I think they have to bring it back because, you know, eventually Logan and just like the perfumes that smell like sex, is that there's no way that's going to work out for their benefit, I don't think. And
I don't see that being very lucrative.
I thought it was heading us towards the, like, discovery and understanding of pheromones.
Oh, maybe.
Really?
I thought that's where it was headed.
Maybe. We kind of commented on that last week.
We were thinking, okay, they went with this perfume guy. But then again, that's when we thought he was going to be like the skis. But now that he's like kind of like turning a little bit of a...
I think it might be a good relationship point for Virginia. But in terms of their business, they have to bring back Playboy.
Yeah.
I think that's one thing that they should keep from the real life Virginia Johnson and Bill Masters.
Well, it seems that pornography is still kind of like a little traveling thread that they have, since we touched on it in this episode just a little bit too. Yeah. So I have a feeling that we'll be coming back to it.
Yeah. So hopefully that'll come back. But I did want to say, I haven't read all of Masters of Sex. I need to finish this stupid book. It's like just sitting there on my Kindle. But
I'm going to start reading.
It's fascinating.
How to Keep Friends. What was it?
How to Win Friends.
Yeah.
I've read that as well. You have to kind of take it and then maneuver it around in your brain so you just don't sound like a sociopath.
I understand how you feel.
Yeah. I understand. I don't blame you for feeling that way.
Yeah. But Bill actually used that wrong.
Yeah.
Like, it's supposed to happen like when you're in an argument with someone. Yeah. You're supposed to acknowledge. And that's something that they say in psychology and all the time is you need to acknowledge the other person's feelings.
Right.
Don't deny them.
Don't deny
their feelings.
But the way it's written in the book is such a jerk.
Oh, yeah.
Oh, we're in an argument. Oh, I understand how you feel. I don't blame you for feeling that way.
Oh, yeah. It's so condescending, isn't it?
I'll punch you in the face.
Dale Carnegie's book, it is kind of like old school. You haven't quite figured out how to finesse
right.
Wasn't there
language.
Something weird with Betty being like, back in the day when we... Never mind.
Yes.
Like that.
Dale Carnegie was one of her jobs.
Yeah. Something.
Clients.
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 One of her
clients. Okay. Not Johns.
Yeah.
Sorry. Is that archaic? No, it was interesting to touch on Virginia's hesitancy to be with Bill, like in a kind of monogamous, condoned way in terms of they're going to dinner and she's wearing a fur coat. Because the real life Virginia Johnson kind of commented later on that her marriage to Bill was kind of a business decision as much as it was a romance decision. Mm-hmm. And this is when she was older and he'd already left to be with another woman.
Yeah.
So a lot of people kind of assumed that she was like maybe upset or bitter about that. But she's like, no, I mean, you spend enough time around someone and it just seemed like the way to go. So I'm curious if they're going to play that into the television show as well, if Virginia kind of
just didn't seem like she wasn't like popping a leg. She's not, you know, it's not a whirlwind, you know, fantasy.
It's not the feeling. I guess I was talking with some friends the other night and they were talking about how, you know, they just want that feeling, that kind of excitement. I call it the Zazazoo because I watch too much Sex in the City. But, you know, they don't have that Zazazoo for each other. It's just kind of convenient.
You know what I mean? For a while,
Did they, though?
I don't know. For
like,
the first
two
seasons, I felt like they couldn't keep their hands off each other. But
I feel like we're going back to Margaret's request, and I feel like that's a tall order, guys.
The Zazazoo?
The Zazazoo.
Why?
In this situation with them?
No, I'm saying, like, it doesn't... I'm saying that it doesn't seem like... It seems like Virginia wants somebody that she has the Zazazoo for. And that to go along with Bill would just be, like, settling. Like, okay, well, he's there.
But it was very exciting for a while. I do feel like they had it... they were, like, very, very all about each other for a while. And, you know, how relationships do, like, things plateau a little bit.
Yeah.
And, like, I think that kind of happened.
Think they were, it's just...
You don't feel like they
were ever... the relationship started in terms of they had sex with each other for... the project at the time, it never seemed like it was really about like red hot fire chemistry. Like it became that just from them exploring each other, just kind of like how that happens sometimes.
See, I think there was sexual tension from like the get go.
Really?
Yeah,
I thought that's because it's TV and you like know. So I'm like probably just like implanting that on like something, but
yeah,
I don't know.
Well, nonetheless, I think it'll be interesting to see if they're going to kind of play that kind of feeling that Virginia Johnson had in real life of the marriage being something of, like, convenience. and maybe not.
Well, she's sexual. I mean, she's pretty level-headed and calculated, so I get that.
Yeah.
Do you think that the marriage is this, we're getting there this season?
No. Oh, I don't, maybe. I feel maybe like time is going by very fast.
Yeah, 12 years have passed in season one.
And also just like from the last episode, Joy's in the hospital, and now she's already home and like,
right.
So like, yeah. How long does that
and
take?
And they had a caretaker who they already fired.
Yeah. So like, I feel like months and months.
Is Tessa's boyfriend now. It's not, you know.
Yeah, like months are going by in between these episodes. So who knows, honestly. I have no idea where we are temporally.
I know. Yeah. How old is the baby? Is the baby like 3 now?
I know.
We saw the baby.
They still, yes.
It's still a baby.
Still, like, yeah,
the baby.
Baby
is still a baby.
Okay.
It still has to be carried.
Yeah.
And fed.
But babies are hard to tell because, like, sometimes a newborn on TV looks like 6 months old. And sometimes, you know, a 6-month-old is like a very, very small baby. So it's like, who knows?
Baby casting.
They just
grabbed
whatever child they could find.
And they're like, this works. So did anyone have any other thoughts before we go into predictions?
I think we covered it.
I think
we covered everything. All right. So let's go ahead into predictions.
And now,
don't hurt me.
After Buzz TV.
Why does it always seem like we're being like abducted?
It really does.
Aliens?
We are.
We are.
Predictions.
There's even like a lighting change,
right? It's like, all right, yeah.
I predict that we're gonna have more Margaret stuff only because I really want it.
Mm-hmm.
And I think we're gonna explore the polyamory. Mm. Yay! And I think because it seems to be happening so far, I think we're going to get back other characters we haven't seen in a while.
Mm.
Right? Because we brought back Tessa, who kind of wasn't really... The kids weren't there.
Mm-hmm.
So I think we're going to get more people that we haven't seen since, like, earlier last season or season one.
Okay.
That's what I predict.
I definitely think that we're going to get some more. Like, we didn't see the Bible kid.
Yeah.
We didn't see anything like that this episode, so we're going to see more of that, obviously. I also think that, like, I just feel like something's going on with Libby that we're not seeing. I think we're going to start getting some more reveals where she's
like
concerned. Maybe not an affair. That feels too obvious, but I don't know, something. And what else? Yeah, obviously just more Margaret. I want always more Margaret. And Lester. We didn't see Lester at all either.
Yeah. That'd be nice. Maybe we'll have Lester and his wife come back next episode. I hope that next episode there's like the blossoming of Betty and Tessa's relationship.
I think that would be more conversations there, please.
Yeah, I think that'd be really beneficial for Tessa. You know, if she can't get it from her mom, I think that would be a really great surrogate.
And Betty's really fun.
Betty's just so much fun.
Love when Betty's around.
Yeah.
Things get done when Betty's
around. The phone's
around.
Ringing. Somewhere that's not here.
Right? I love her. She's like, I gotta go.
Yeah.
So I think that's gonna kind of be touched upon. I also think we're gonna see the repercussions of Virginia accepting that fur coat.
Yeah.
Ooh.
All right. Well, I think that about wraps us up for this episode of the Masters of Sex After Show. Thank you guys so much for tuning in. But before we go, where can everyone find everyone?
You guys can find me on Twitter at Quinskillian. You can find me on Instagram at Quinstagram. And you can look for me on Vine at the Quinbee.
Awesome. You can find me online at yell.tv. That's YAEL.TV. Also, Twitter, Instagram, YouTube, Facebook at Yell Teagle. And you can find me on the Popcorn Talk Network doing a show called Adult Films Exposed, where we talk filmmaking with adult performers.
Oh,
cool.
I had a porn star reach out to me once after they heard me on here. Interesting. Anyways. I'm Adrienne Snow, and you can follow me on Instagram and Twitter at Miss Adrienne Snow, M-S-E-D-R-I-N.
All porn stars.
S-N-O-W. If you are a porn star, you would like me to interview. Maybe? Okay. So, thank you guys so much for tuning into our after show, and we will see you all next Sunday.
From executive producers Maria Menounos, Kevin Undergaro, Phil Svitek, and the entire AfterBuzz TV staff, we would like to thank you for listening to the AfterBuzz TV network. To watch or listen to other after shows and post comments or questions, be sure to visit AfterBuzzTV.com. I'm Sir Richard Wentworth, and this has been a presentation of AfterBuzz TV.
Buzz you later.
The views expressed herein are those of the hosts only and do not necessarily reflect the views of AfterBuzz TV or its owners or principals.